games Friday and Saturday, and if needed on Sunday, all of them at 7. Seth, great show. Be sure to join Seth for Over the Back Fence tomorrow.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
Have a good one. We'll talk to you soon and later right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Alec Murdoch speaks just before he's sentenced for a double murder.
I'm innocent. I would never hurt my wife, Maggie, and I would never hurt my son, Pawpaw.
Murdoch faces life in prison with no chance of parole a day after he was convicted of killing both of them. Prosecutor Creighton Waters urging the harshest penalty possible.
I would submit to you that the only just sentence here to give justice for Maggie and Paul is the maximum. And that would be 2 consecutive life sentences.
Judge Clifton Newman is addressing Murdoch right now. The jury deliberated for less than 3 hours before convicting him yesterday. Parts of Texas and Louisiana have been battered by the same storm system that slammed the mountains of Southern California. Correspondent Janet Shamlian reports from Shreveport.
Little Elm, Texas, where at least 6 cars and trucks were buried under bricks, metal beams, and other debris when devastating winds collapsed a shopping center.
It just was like a boom. It was on us.
We got a tornado on the ground.
In the Dallas area, wind gusts as high as 80 miles an hour, downing power lines and plunging hundreds of thousands into the dark.
Back in California, some people have been trapped in their homes for almost a week. Michelle Calkins' first floor is buried in snow.
We need help. People are trapped in their homes. They cannot get medicine, heart medicine, insulin.
Avalanche warning still up in Northern California, Sierra Nevada. Walgreens Boot Alliance has had a change of heart about dispensing abortion pills in the mail in 20 states. Though the procedure is legal in some of them, the pharmacy chain's up against Republican attorneys general who say the company risks breaking the law. One of the first black officers in the Army's elite Green Beret will receive the Medal of Honor at the White House this morning for his heroism in Vietnam nearly 60 years ago. Retired Colonel Paris Davis' nomination vanished twice at the height of the civil rights movement.
It was as silent as the middle of a night until CBS came along and made it happen.
CBS News correspondent Catherine Herridge helped bring his story to the Pentagon's attention. Researchers have found a new statue believed to have been part of a series in eastern Polynesia. CBS's Stacy Lin.
More than 1,000 Moai statues have been discovered on Easter Island in the Pacific, and scientists thought there were no more. But a new and smaller Moai was just found in a dried-up lake. Janet Van Tilburg told 60 Minutes no two are alike.
They're different in the line of their mouth. They're different in, of course, their size and shape.
This one was found laying on its side.
The Dow's up 154 points. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Moments like hearing my cat purr good morning mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
It makes me smile and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh, oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR.
Cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 39. East winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Mixed precipitation possible at times. High temperatures reach up to 40. About an inch of snow Sunday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 28.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this March 3rd, 2023, 10:05 on the clock. And you have your host, James J. Maloff, here. In part two today, we are going to speak with our friends at Grace Lutheran Church. We have the Grace Players coming in, their theater community benefit event coming up. Sandy, Jim, Randy, we'll be talking with them. Right now on the phone, we have Wisconsin State Representative Scott Krug. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, James. How are you today?
Doing good. How are you doing over there?
Well, it's been a week, man. I tell you, it is just everything's hopping all at the same time right now. So between the Elks and our fish fries going on, and Madison and the budget going on, and you know, county board stuff going on, and selling houses going on, so it's been hopping this week, man. I tell you.
I want to touch on a number of those things, Scott. But first, where are you calling us from today?
So I'm literally sitting in the Elks parking lot. We're going to do our prep for our Lenten fish fry tonight. So I come down here on the Friday mornings and I help, you know, tinfoil wrap potatoes and fill tartar sauce cups and make some coleslaw and all those types of things, get ready for that, while watching Jack, who's in the back seat today, because, of course, school's out today.
Right, of course.
Right? So it's we're just hanging out in the parking lot at the Elks for a little while with you today.
I appreciate both of you, and thank Jack for me, too. I appreciate you, Jack. Thanks so much, and thanks for joining us. And I ask in part because I always like to, when we have these opportunities, Scott, to show how much this means to you, not only the job, but joining us on the air and being able to talk to, you know, to your constituents and everything, how important you think this stuff is, and appreciate that. We have plenty of people that have to cancel for various reasons, and it's understandable, and the day job always comes first, and by that I mean being a dad and a husband and all that, but when you're able to, appreciate it. And Scott goes out of his way to do these things, and it's not always a fun time talking to me, so he really, I mean, that really means something that he's doing this. Appreciate you, Scott. Also,
it's all good.
I also appreciate also the opportunity to kind of show the different levels of politics. I think as a country, we approach politics and look at politicians and talk about politicians in a certain light, but we tend to use that blanket for all politicians. And there is a gigantic difference of somebody who is, you know, sitting on the Senate floor or something in Washington, D.C., and somebody that is like yourself, that is representing constituents and everything, but doing more of your work from the state, on the state level. And do you think, Scott, just going here to start off our conversation, do you think that is part of the reason why we have gotten a lot of people turning away from politics? Because they're not... we've got this umbrella approach we're treating it now, where everything is lumped together.
Right. Yeah, it is. I mean, that's the reason that most of us at the state level do as much as we do to try to be as available as we can to be in our communities, to, you know, like I said, to be on the Elks and to, you know, to be at the Y every day and just being around everybody, because it's a whole different show, right? I mean, when I represent my 57,000 people between the four counties I have, that's a lot different than what Tammy Baldwin and Ron Johnson do when they represent the entire state, when they have to basically... live in D.C., they don't have that expectation to be as available as somebody who's more local. So, I mean, that's why we try to be as local as we can. And, you know, and I tell the story all the time, like, when I first got elected, my wife was a little intimidated about some of the events we would have to go to, because she kind of had that thought, too, like, oh, they're above us, they're not one of us. And, you know, after you start hanging out with a group of us, you realize we're actually just real people, you know, so it is a whole different animal from what people see on TV from the higher levels down towards, you know, the state level and even the county and the local levels. So, I mean, that's why, you know, you always keep good relationships with your mayors and your county board chairs and, you know, your guys like Lance, who's on the Elks with me here, and, you know, guys like Shane, who I'm always at the Y with. And, you know, so we're all just doing our thing on a daily basis and trying to do the best thing we can for the people we represent.
It's important, too, I think, to have these distinctions, to have these definitions, to understand the differences of the different levels of politics and everything, especially if we want to make future politicians. It's one of those things. We did a story on the morning show earlier about jobs that, you know, are seeing a lot of people not really joining. They're seeing their numbers go down. Politics is one of them. People are not wanting to get into this game as much anymore, or do this for a career. And I don't think that's a coincidence when you see that the way that we treat politicians. Everybody should be held accountable. I don't think anybody's going to fight me on that one. But as far as like the way that it seems like you can't win for losing, you know, no matter what, even when you do good, it seems that all the media wants to focus on is negatives. And again, there needs to be accountability. But I also feel like we need to do a better job of showing a balance of this. Like politicians like yourself that are on the ground floor that are working diligently. And just heard Scott what he's doing for the Elks right now and those kind of things. Many years you've joined us, and not just you, but other representatives that also have a D or an R, all those things. That's side by side.
Yeah.
It's showing more of that light to that, I think, hopefully creates, and we will have future politicians, because you don't want what could happen. And that's, to me, people who are only doing politics because they want to get, they're, if I'm being blunt, they're not talented at anything else. So this is what they can make their 15 seconds of fame on. They're not a good enough singer or actor or musician. So, well, wait a minute. What can I do to get 15 seconds of fame? I'll be a politician. Like, that is not what we need. That's going to take us steps back.
Yeah. I mean, that's always the, you know, when you talk to somebody who's running for an election, I mean, that's, you know, you always want to hear their backstory. You want to hear what their expertise is. You want to know what their private sector experiences. You want to know what their family experiences are. I mean, there are, And I don't say it to knock the guys and gals that do it, but there are 18, 19, 20-year-olds who are doing some of the things I'm doing at the Capitol, and a lot of people wonder, okay, well, what kind of life experience are you bringing to this job? So there is that aspect to it, you know, that it's been in the family forever, so I'm just going to do what my dad did or what my grandpa did or things like that. And then there's other people who have real-world policy experience or things that happened in their life or somebody else's life that drove them to an issue that made them want to do these things. And I think once everybody gets down there, and even the ones who are less experienced in other life things, they tend to learn a lot from people who have more experience. So I think as a collective group, we're able to temper some of those issues that arise in that aspect. There's always going to be 5 to 10, I think, out of the 99 of us in the assembly who are just not there for the right reasons, but for the most part, everybody's even-keeled, and they know what the right things to do are. I think the only challenge is sometimes we just disagree on how to get to the same answer that we agree on, because I can almost say 100% of the time, we all know what the problems are, we all know what the solutions are. I just think sometimes we just differ on how to get to it, and I think that gets overblown sometimes, too.
Speaking with 72nd Wisconsin Assembly District Representative Scott Krug right now, and Scott, you mentioned that you've got some county board work that you've been doing this week and that such. What's been going on there?
Yeah, so Adams County Board has been an interesting endeavor here this last year, just trying to get my feet wet for the first time on that board and understand everything that happens at a 6,000-foot view, where I'm at a 30,000-foot view at the state level. So we've been dealing with some interesting things down there, trying to figure out some personnel issues and some funding issues, and trying to advocate back to the state on obviously things that need to be done for local budgets versus what my usual perspective on the state budget is, trying to figure out how to put the thing together. And now I get to advocate to other state reps in the area and try to help them understand what's needed on the local level. So it's been interesting to take the other perspective and see what kind of impact the state actually sends back down to the county to figure out how to get done. So it's drinking from the fire hose a little bit. It's always nice to be learning something new, but it's definitely a challenge.
Has there been some things, I know you haven't been doing it too long, but have you already noticed some things that you might not have noticed otherwise?
Yeah, and hearing a lot and having these relationships with everybody who's down at the county level here in Adams, just knowing some of the struggles they historically face. You know, Adams County is the third poorest county in the state, so we're looking to find opportunities to have economic development come to the county. We're always looking at the backside of that problem with the poverty in Adams County. How do we take care of people's health issues in the county? How do we have providers come give access to people who are in need of services? You know, all of these transportation-related problems that people have, even if we had economic development opportunities, how do we get people in impoverished areas to be able to get to their employers? How do we deal with child care in the county? How do we, you know, so all of these big topics that we work on at the top levels of the state budget, you get to see them actually being applied to everybody's real life when you're on a county government. And those struggles are real for people, and it helps. Honestly, for me, it gives me even a better perspective at the state level when I'm crafting, you know, ideas for state budget, proposals, and you know, when it comes to water quality and all of those things too. Having a chance to be on my Tri-Lakes board while I'm on the county board, while I'm doing my state government stuff, all three of those wrap in together to say, okay, this is what we actually really need right here, right now. And I think the biggest thing it does is it helps me get over this idea that one size fits all for anything, because it just doesn't. You know, what works in Adams County just absolutely does not work for Brown County. Mm-hmm. So we have to figure out ways to separate those types of things when we're crafting statewide proposals.
You mentioned the issue of transportation. I had this discussion on the air a couple of times as far as Amtrak's plans, their passenger rail service. They're proposed to open stations in cities across Wisconsin. Do you think that's one of those things? I don't know if that's going to happen maybe in the next couple of years, but do you think that that's something the next 5-10 years that you could see happening?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you start seeing a lot of the shifting dynamics of the workforce and the mobility of our workforce, and how somebody who lives in Wisconsin Rapids isn't necessarily always working here. We're always, you know, heading to either Wausau or something, to Appleton and Green Bay, into Madison, for example, who could take advantage of some of those opportunities. And I don't think it's going to be a massively expanded process or system, but I think you'll start seeing some more stops along the way, maybe between that Chicago, Madison, Minneapolis corridor, especially to try to get some activity in those in-between areas.
I know that we're always looking, you know, even well before the pandemic, let alone now, we're looking to not only keep Wisconsinites in Wisconsin, but to bring more people into the state. Do you think that that transportation issue that could solve some of that?
Yeah, it does. I mean, you see the highest areas of growth outside of the state of Wisconsin, especially, are the Twin Cities, and then you start looking in-state and you see the biggest area of growth are the Fox Cities, and you see all that area in between, you know, and those are all where our prime candidates for commuters are coming from, is right between the Twin Cities and the Fox Cities. We've got to figure out a way to connect those people's opportunities with their abilities to get those opportunities, and thankfully, I still think, in the end, I think this new rage of telework and online opportunities is going to overtake the need for actual physical transportation into the near future here, but there's still a role to play for actually being able to get people to some of these places too. So, and those are conversations we're having as part of the state budget already now too, now that the governor's introduced his budget, now the legislature's, you know, starting to tear those things apart and figure out what works and what doesn't. And that's obviously part of the puzzle right now. You know, even as we speak, is how do we work some of those things back into the budget process that we're already underway with?
As long as we're talking about it, let's get into the budget. As you mentioned, Governor Evers proposed a historic $7 billion budget surplus. Now, certainly, this is bartering. This is a lot of what politics has always been, and what we're, you know, just have a little bit more insight of nowadays, I think. He has his proposal. You guys give yours. You go back and forth. And if it's a good, if it works out, neither side is really that happy and that sad. I mean, this is what, you know, bartering is all about. Is that a little bit of what's going to be happening here?
Yeah, I mean, this is the Super Bowl of Wisconsin politics. The only difference is the Super Bowl of us doing our job is going to take 4 months to come together to somebody raising a trophy, and that trophy is the governor signing the budget. And that's, honestly, it's happened the last two sessions with a split government, with Evers in the East Wing and the legislature under a different party. It's worked really well, actually. So I'm not overly concerned that we're not going to get to the right answer. This same process has happened now the third time over, where the governor introduces a budget. The Joint Finance Committee says, thanks for the proposal, but let's all sit down and start figuring out what works and what doesn't. And like any other bill, the budget bill does not ever, 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 or any other bill ever, 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 go from its inception mode to finished product without being changed 100 times in between. This one just takes a lot more input. So we started going around to all of our districts, all 99 of us will have listening sessions across our districts. The Joint Finance Committee will have the entire Joint Finance Committee go across the state of Wisconsin and stop in 5 or 6 different cities and get input regionally. We all take that back to our budget teams and have discussions and talk about priorities and figure out where money actually is, which is a big part of this proposal right now, is when we talk about a projected $7 billion surplus, the fact that, you know, $3 billion of that is probably usable for long-term funding because inflationary pressures are just making us use that much extra money for things we already do. So that eats a lot of that $7 billion already. So when people hear those numbers up front, it sounds great, but it's not as big as it is because the things we're already doing are costing a lot more than they did last year. So that's going to eat a chunk of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that gives us, you know, $3 billion of new money to work with towards figuring out tax cuts or education spending or correction spending or UW and K-12 spending together. And, you know, we've got these top 10 things we want to try to accomplish and figure out how to get together and kumbaya on.
Mm.
I think the biggest two right now are probably transportation funding, like we talked about a little bit earlier, trying to do a lot more maintenance than, you know, building on road projects. And second is our shared revenue program is so outdated right now that our municipalities and our counties and our villages, like I talked about the county board work, is that's the biggest thing we're advocating for, is a bigger share of the pie for our local governments to be able to accomplish the things that the state and the federal government require them to do. So I think those two things are probably the biggest, and I think honestly those two things probably have the most agreement going into the process. So I don't see too much headache or heartburn trying to get this budget done. The only thing you try to avoid, and I would encourage people to avoid it too, is just to stay away from the media accounts of he said, she said, and this one said it's a great thing, and they said it's a horrible thing. It's, you know, the guys at the top level, whether they're in legislative leadership or the governor's office, they have a job to do, which is to pitch their proposals publicly, and our job in the rank and file is to get your input and to make sure the things that you want actually get into the budget. So there's some difference even within our legislature and our government system on how you should, you know, digest the budget. I would say stick with your local representatives' perspectives versus what you see in the headline news.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't trust your local Republican or your local Democrat, call the next local one over and ask the next Democrat or Republican next to them, because those are things that, you know, like Katrina and I will work on a lot of things together, and Pat and I will work on things together, and Pat and Katrina will work on some things together. So it's not all as contentious as you would be told in the news sometimes when it comes mm-hmm. to putting together a state budget. So.
I appreciate that, and I completely agree with what you're saying there. I think you keep if you don't find those things, keep digging, you will find them. You know, it's yeah, not that hard. And
right. I mean, between Facebook and our e-updates and our listening sessions and our media stuff, I mean, there's no shortage of being able to get your local perspective on how the budget's going. And I encourage people all the time, is just either call my office or shoot us an email and just get onto the e-update list, and we'll go through every week for the next 4 or 5 months, you know, high important areas that we're going to talk about in the budget and ask for your input. And every week people will get a chance to weigh in on a different issue, and you can always call every day and ask, you know, a question or weigh in on an issue. We've got John in my office, has been there 5 years now, so John's an old Department of Revenue guy who knows numbers like you believe, so he can get you the real skinny details. And we just got a brand new hire in my office, Marina. She's a pretty amazing new whippersnapper, just graduated from UW Whitewater and getting her feet wet and all these things now. So
very
cool. Pretty excited to have a pretty good staff on board now. So
recently, late last month, you, Representative Vandermeer and Representative Tony Kurtz, had a good chat with the Wisconsin State Cranberry Growers Association, their leadership development program. How did that go? What were some of the things that were discussed?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, just having local growers come to the Capitol is a really cool thing, and it's nice that the Cranberry Growers Association does this every year, and the potato guys do it too, and the vegetable growers, they all take some time to come down for a day, and it's nice to sit down and talk to them about local issues. And again, the biggest thing that came up is transportation, because it's important for agriculture too to be able to count on local roads to be able to get to the state highways. We also talked a lot about research and getting money to the university system so the research can be conducted, and that the labs at the UW are actually in good shape, that, you know, we can count on drawing people's interest to our university system to develop research and get grants and all those things. So those are the two biggest things I think the cranberry growers were interested in, is just making sure we're making investments in things that are going to benefit their industry, which is great. I mean, you know, everybody hears, you know, bad thing when they hear the word lobbyists, but that's exactly what these folks are too, is lobbying for things that they want. And there is no shortage of that type of input coming into the Capitol this time of year. So,
from the numbers that we're seeing, it looks like our cranberry industry is healthy. Are you hearing that from them?
Yeah, I think, you know, most of our growers are reasonably happy. They just like to have some of these flexibilities and options to expand their operations as they need to, and to diversify from time to time when things are not going good. So it's always a good partnership with our local growers if we can help them find different ways to find different cash crops, like we did with the hemp bill. It's nice to have an option for them to be able to rent land to somebody else, like we're going to give them an option to with my community solar bill that we're going to do this session, to maybe rent out some of their, you know, land that isn't high productive value, and to helping create clean energy. So, I mean, there's all kinds of smaller things that we work around the edges just to keep all of their operations sustainable and able to grow into the future to handle the next generation, like they've been handed generation and generation already. So it's just always keeping our eye on the future is how we help the cranberry industry the most, is saying, I know we've always done this, but we've got to think about what we're going to do next.
Similar to something I was going to ask as far as the budget, of how much time you have to spend when it comes to the budget, not only focusing on this year, but the next budget and that kind of thing. It sounds very similar to that, where it's one of those things where right now we're trying to take care of, but also looking ahead.
Yeah, it is, because every budget is on, I mean, it's in its own silo for sure, because it's its own bill and it's its own two-year cycle, but every budget builds into the next budget, because this budget, we're starting on what's called base, and that's what the last budget ended up as. So if we increased education funding last budget, which we did $200 per year per pupil, that is our new base number that we start from. So if we add more money into that, that's great. If we don't add more money into that, that's the way it shakes out. But every base budget ends up being bigger than the last base budget. And we have got to make sure we continue to grow revenues to a point where we can sustain those things. Otherwise, we got to start making cuts in the next base budget, which are still increases over the budget before. But it's hard to get those people's perspectives on those things to understand that, yes, we're still spending more than we ever did before, but it probably might be less on this thing than it was last budget. So that's the technicalities of the budget that drive me nuts trying to describe to people, is what base budget means versus what the actual budget says, you know, what a surplus means, what all of these numbers all play into each other. So that's why we do so many listening sessions, to try to describe exactly what people might be hearing and what it actually really means.
Scott, we'll get you out of here on one of the more important questions I ask you today. Who is going to be the setup man for Devin Williams for the Brewers this year? I'm not sure who's going to be that middle reliever, that guy in those in-between innings and everything to get you from your starter to Devin. I'm not sure who they're going to go with. They got a couple of guys they brought in that look good, but I'm not sure. What are you thinking?
Well, you know, when you got eight guys that could potentially be starters, a lot of those guys are just going to have to start transitioning to the bullpen. So you got guys like Aaron Ashby that might end up being a good setup guy, maybe like Smoltz and Glavine were at the end of their careers with the Braves or something like that. You have to get creative with a starter that's going to have to fill that role. And, you know, you touch on the Brewers a little bit. It's been really interesting these last couple weeks that the tie-in between the Brewers and the state budget has happened too. I mean, when the governor starts talking about trying to do funding for the Brewers stadium, and you're a huge Brewers fan, but you're also a really big fiscal conservative, you get really torn on what the answer is going to be on that one. So,
yeah, I imagine.
You know, it's crazy, because you don't want them to leave, but knowing enough about baseball, I know that when the Brewers come to threaten us, saying, if you don't give us a new stadium, we're leaving, I know that they can't just leave if they want to. You know, so I take some of that baseball knowledge that we developed over the years on our show here and take it back to the Capitol and tell leadership, hey, you know what, that the owners have to vote 75% of the ownership to let Milwaukee move to a different city. And I know that Tampa's been looking to do this forever, and Cleveland tried to do it. And so I kind of pitched this to Robin, and I said, you know, if you want to put together a committee on stadium funding, I know a great guy that could chair it. So I told him, I'd jump in. If we're ever going to do a committee on the Brewer Stadium funding here. So it's nice that these two things tied in a little bit this time.
It's actually how I wanted to wrap up the show, too. Because, you know, for those that have listened, Scott and I, for years, we usually wrap up talking Brewers because we did our homework. Now we get to have some fun. But this time, it actually did have a tie into something, a previous conversation with the budget. So that is going to be interesting to see how that develops. And I'm with you. I don't believe there's even a shadow of a chance of the Brewers leaving or anything. But it is going to be one of these interesting things we're going to have to face in the next couple of years of how that stadium, how they're going to pay that. I mean, they're redoing Camden Yards. I feel like that happened yesterday. It's over 20 years old now, and it's already an ancient stadium. That's so weird. So it is one of those things when you think of revenue. We've seen recent reports of Wisconsin has bounced back as far as tourism goes. You want to keep that going. You want to up those things. You can't lose an MLB team in the process. So it'll be interesting. It's going to be an interesting next conversation.
Yeah, the income tax developed by those players coming to Milwaukee pays for that stadium moreover than it does. So losing them is a bigger problem than keeping them. It's just figuring out how to keep them is going to be the concern over the next year. It's not going to be in the budget. I'm just telling people now. But we'll figure it out during the session.
It'll be interesting to talk about. Maybe it'll show up next month when we get together again. Thanks for the time, Scott. Thanks, Jack. Appreciate you guys both putting up with me here. Thank you for the time. You guys have a great weekend.
Yeah. Take care. Say bye, Jack.
Bye.
Talk soon, Scott. Take care. Always appreciate the time from State Representative Scott Krug. Always a good conversation with him. Coming up in part two, we're going to talk to our friends at Grace Lutheran Church. The Grace Players are coming to join us here on the air in a few, right at WFHR's Morning Magazine.
United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties invites all women to join us for the 12th annual Power of the Purse, Tuesday, March 14th at Bullseye Golf Club from 5 to 7:30 p.m. Power of the Purse is a fundraiser to support early grade literacy hosted by Women United. There will be a purse silent auction, raffles, online auction, and great food. All thanks to our diamond sponsors, Lion Energy, Aspirus Health, Connexus Cares, Ginzel Insurance Agency, Ho-Chunk Gaming, Nakusa, Paul Gross Jewelers, Prevail Bank, Walker Cranberry, and Williams Plumbing and Heating. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit uwswac.org or call 715-421-0390.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Arts Council presents Take Three, where rock meets Bach. Take Three gives you the most exciting and refreshing pop, rock, classical, fusion music anywhere in the world. And they'll be at the Performing Arts Center of Wisconsin Rapids, Thursday, March 9th. See what Take 3 is about and get your tickets anytime at savorthearts.org or call 715-424-2787. Take 3 with the Arts Council, your performing arts connection.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 39. East winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, cloudy skies expected. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Mixed precipitation possible at times. High temperatures reach up to 40. About an inch of snow Sunday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 28.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this March 3rd, 2023. It is 10:34 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Maloff, here. Thank you much for joining us. We're wrapping up the week of Morning Magazine here with our friends at Grace Lutheran Church in Wisconsin Rapids. We're going to talk to the Grace players about their theater and community benefit event coming up. We have Sandy Schreier with us.
Schreier.
Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. Jim, how do I say that last name?
Storrent.
It is Storrent.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for being here. And Randy Olson.
Hey, good morning.
Thank you for having an easy to say last name, Randy. I appreciate it. The only one in the room that way. I'm a Maloff. I mean, mine isn't any easier to say either. Appreciate you guys being here. Thank you so much for the time. Sandy, if you don't mind, let's get in right away the details of the performance and what people can expect.
Well, every year we do a play. We just have a group of theater people who, I should say, theater amateurs, who like to get up on stage and do some entertaining and acting up. And this year is our first one back now since the break of COVID.
I thought so.
That in March, where is the typical time we do them. This play is going to be next week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, runs March 9th through 12th. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday will be at 6:30 at night. The play runs, I would say, about 2 hours, 2 hours and 50 minutes or so with an intermission, and we will have an array of scrumptious desserts for you to choose from during your intermission. And the show on Sunday is a matinee, which will start at 2:30.
Sandy is also the director as well as one of the drama team members of the show. When it came to directing this particular show, was this one that you chose or was this one that was available? How did that work out?
This is one that I first read this play probably about 10, 12 years ago, and I thought it was so cute. It just is, it's not just a comedy, although there is a lot of comedy in it. But it's also a kind of tender one. It has some, like, feel-good moments. So it has a child in it, and a youngish couple, and three nannies who are retired, and a couple of bank robbers. So we needed to find just the right cast in order to do this. And this year, the chemistry just kind of came together. And I think we have a really cute show. It is going to be a barrel laugh, belly laugh minute kind of thing. But it also has some tender moments.
Nice. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this before, but I'm an actor, and no, I'm joking. I ramble about that
all
the time. Yeah, really. I had a lot of shocked audience members. But with that, one of the things that I think that happens oftentimes, because I'm a SAG member and I'm a professional actor, that sometimes when we talk to community theater actors or when I do, especially off air, there's a kind of a novice thing, or we're not professional or something like that. Anybody on any stage performing to me is a pro. To me, they are doing something pro-level-like. And I actually find, you brought up a word that I wanted to touch on, and this works out so well, because part of the reason I enjoy community theater or church plays and these sorts of things, high school plays so much, is that one of my favorite things about acting is chemistry. Seeing great chemistry with great performers. I think of Paul Newman and Robert Redford. First thing that pops in my head when I think of chemistry. Some of the best chemistry you'll ever see is those two. But that's on a different level. And, you know, two people paying a lot of money to work together and learn each other. And they were friends and stuff. So that goes there. But chemistry we see in community theater. We see in church plays. We see in high school plays. Even better in some ways. Because you guys know each other. You have a familiarity with each other. You're on the same level. And that's something that you can't, even the greatest of thespians, can't manufacture. You can't fake chemistry. You can't, no matter how talented you are. So think when you're walking into a show like that, with having that in your arsenal already, you're already in good shape. You already have something going for you there, and you're going to have a good production. You're going to have a good run because you have the chemistry end of things, and you guys are looking out for each other. Somebody drops a line, the other actor is right there to have their back. A lot of those things that you don't get in a billion-dollar movie and everything. So I think that there's a lot of fun and a lot of things for audience members to really enjoy as well as for you guys. Let's talk about your characters a little bit. And Sandy, since I've already put you on the spot once, I'll start with you here. It says that you're a drama team member as well. So are you in this show or are you just directing?
I am in this one. It wasn't going to start out that way, but we've had to rejuggle a few because somebody had to drop out. We had to juggle a few of the actors. Yeah. I do have a mighty six lines this time. Nice. I can handle that. I'm not much, it's hard for me to memorize. Mm. I don't mind getting in front of people and I can talk off the cuff for anything, but memorizing lines is tough for
me. I hear you. So. Oh, I hear you. Yeah. There's one of my favorite lines that I've ever heard. It's actually about football. They pay me for Monday through Saturday. They get Sunday for free. I've always felt this way about acting. They pay me for rehearsals and to memorize my lines. When I'm on stage, that's all for free. That's right. The fun stuff and everything. I think that's also noteworthy for people out there because we always like to encourage people to be a part of these shows. One of the things that could be hold people back from that is, well, I can't memorize lines or anything. It's always encouraging whenever anybody can hear Sandy has struggles with it, but she's got it down. She can do that too. Like, it's always nice to remind people that you can do these things sometimes, no matter what age you are.
Yeah.
Guys, I'll put you on the spot next. Jim, I'd like to start with you. Can you tell me a little bit about your character?
Yeah, I play Randy. His stage name is Stu, and mine is Little Pat, and we're kind of a team here. Hmm. I'm his sidekick bank robber, wannabe. And so we have a lot, and we have that chemistry. We're good friends off stage, and we're having a lot of fun playing up the. I'm kind of a sarcastic guy, and we have a lot of banter going back and forth on our strategy on how to carry out the robbery, and it gets pretty fun. So I'll let Randy tell you about his character.
So I'm Stu Benchley, and so me and Jim, we end up going back to an old nanny of mine and her place that we use as a front for this for this bank holdup. So I can be kind of suave with the ladies and mysterious and even
always fun to play.
Kind of a joker too. So this is like Sandy said, we kind of have a. We have some comedy in this, but we also have a really good, it's just a really good setup. So we got a lot of different, some drama involved in this. And so, yeah, me and Jim, we really have a good chemistry, but things kind of go south for us. My mind gets on something different than a bank robbery. And have a diversion that kind of kicks in there that doesn't go the way we want to. And he blames me for this, of course.
He ends up being a robber with a conscience.
Interesting.
And that really bothers a little bit. It's bothering him today, you can see.
He's really into character. Oh,
He's bringing it to the show.
My character has a very serious allergy to cats, and there happens to be a cat in this play. And so there's a lot of sneezing and things like that that go on, and pills that I have to take. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's pretty crazy.
He's very needy, I mean.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Oh, I'm already, I don't know the show that well, but I'm almost glad I don't because you guys are selling it so well. This sounds so good. What were one of the more fun parts of playing these roles for you guys? Like, you've touched on it a little bit, but Jim, what was one of the fun things for you to do something like this?
Oh, I think just the sarcasm that I can bring out and being a smart aleck and kind of getting on the boss here about his strategy, and I think just playing off each other and I have a lot of different costume changes, so those are always fun.
Yeah.
I'll leave those as a mystery for the people that might come. I don't want to divulge any serious stuff there. So, yeah, I think there's going to be some good laughs with that, with costumes and parts that I play. So, yeah, it'll be a challenge.
How about you, for you, Randy?
I just I like the camaraderie. Yeah. I like to just the way the play becomes what it is. And how it all comes together, as you know, being an actor. I just really enjoy that, and all the Grace players. Mm. And we'll get some new players that come in each year too, and it's really fun to see them.
Yeah.
Materialize into their part and feel their part. It's really it's really a lot of fun between all of us.
Yeah, very cool.
We have a young girl, and she 11 or so, I think, is 9.
Probably 10.
And it's her first play, and she's really loving it.
Yeah.
There's nothing like working with kids. Yeah.
She's really great. Yeah.
So the energy they have, it's contagious. Yeah. That's really cool.
And they memorize a lot easier than us.
Yeah, they're pretty good at it. Yeah, it's really, yeah.
Yeah.
We are going to take a quick commercial break, but we'll come back and speak more with Sandy, Jim, and Randy about Grace Theater production of Every Cook and Nanny. We'll get into more discussion with the gang here and when we come back on Morning Magazine at WFHR.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Remember when you could turn on the radio and hear a song you'd never heard before? A song that would make you tap your feet, snap your fingers, maybe get up and dance a little? A song that once you heard it made you say, that's a surefire hit. Those days are gone. Or are they? Tune in on Sunday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. and catch Seth Faces the Music on WFHR. The premise is simple. Every week I pick a theme and find songs that fit the theme. It's so simple yet so, so good. Join me, won't you, for Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio WFHR.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists in their own words.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 39. East winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy again tonight, lows dip down to about 23. Overcast tomorrow, mixed precipitation possible at times, high temperatures reach up to 40. About an inch of snow Sunday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 30.
Welcome back to Morning Magazine, everyone, here on this 3rd of March, 2023. I have your host, James J. Maloff, and we're joined by the Grace Lutheran Players from Grace Lutheran Church to talk about their newest production, Every Cook and Nanny. Sandy, Jim, and Randy here with us, and we've been touching on the characters, what the story is like. If you don't mind, guys, I'd like to talk a little bit about why you chose to do this. You know, It's no secret. You guys aren't exactly paid a ton of money to do these things and stuff. Like, you know, it's not one of those things that you're doing necessarily for a popularity or certain reasons like that. Like a lot of people assume people get into acting for. This is a whole different level of acting, and this is what my favorite type of acting, if I'm being honest, where you strip away all the politics and all the other things, and it's just about performing and having a cause, a reason to perform. So first, before we get into the cause, I want to ask why you chose to do this with your time. And Sandy, I'll start with you.
Well, we started, way back, probably about 22 years ago, doing a production as a part of our worship service at church to kind of kick off our stewardship drive in the fall. And honestly, I had a very small part. I was one of the village people in the background, and I've heard the term gets in your blood.
Mm-hmm.
The camaraderie, the family that you become a part of when you're in a theater production, it just is so satisfying.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, maybe the year after that, we said, well, we need money for this project at church, and it's outside the budget or whatever, and so let's do another show. Well, then it kind of metamorphosized into a yearly thing that there's always so much need. And then we decided that it isn't just for our church. We want to do this for our community.
Mm-hmm.
And so we picked several nonprofits in the community that we want to support with some of the efforts that we put forth. We support something at our church. We don't always know what it is, even when we do the play, but there's always a need. And we support our youth at our church. They want to go on to conferences and trips and things, so we always make a contribution to them. We want to support our community, so we have picked for example, the Sweps, or mm-hmm. now Focus as it's become. And we've made large grants to these organizations every year, and I like to think that that money is making a real difference in our community.
Yeah, we've seen how everybody counts, so it absolutely has. And it's always... It's one of those things that we struggle with, especially for myself, I'll speak, during the pandemic and the heart of that and everything, when things are so rough. And, you know, I've got this skill set. I can play a doctor, but I can't help people. I can't cure a disease. I can't do a lot of these things. What can I do with my skill set to help? And you find different ways to make that skill set do, you know, okay, make it work for me. Make it work for my community. Well, I can't, you know... help people in an ER or something like that, but I can take this silly skill set I was given and perform for people, and maybe we can raise some money for a good cause, and it all kind of dominoes into being able to put back into your community. It's something that I think some of us had to face in that moment. Churches and a lot of people have noticed this for a long time, though, and noticed that there's different ways to give back and different ways to be able to help out. The church bake sale is famous, and that's been around long before any of us were even around, probably. Mm-hmm. Finding different ways and other interesting ways to kind of give back and be able to do that and raise funds is always interesting to me. It's very cool to hear not only is Grace doing this, but they've been doing it for so long. That's also noteworthy, I think. How about for you guys? What brought you into this? What made you want to do something like this? Jim, I'll start with you.
Well, I didn't intend on getting involved in theater work, but my son at the time was about 9 years old, and he was reading for a part, and I was kind of hiding in the corner while he did that, and the director then needed somebody to read a part with the other people, and brought me over. I think it was planned, but before I knew it, she asked if I wanted the part, and I accepted it, and I'm glad I did, and it just took off from there. I think now it's 12 years in a row, or at least, and it's just it's a challenge. It's good mental exercise for me, it's just fun. And it keeps you busy in the winter months in Wisconsin when things are kind of slow, so the practices are something to look forward to. And working with other members of the church and the group, it's just we have a pretty nice family, I guess you would say, that works together. So those are the things that brought me in and kept me there.
Yeah. So, how about you, Randy?
Our daughter. Our daughter, actually, I would watch her in plays that she had in school, and I, at that point in my life, could never go up in front of anybody and do anything, and everybody here knows that. And I said, wow, it looks like fun, it looks like a challenge, but it's not for me. And then they asked me to do a play, and I said, no, I turned it down. And then then our pastor asked me to do a faith message one day, and I'm like, well, I didn't sleep the night before I did that, and I ended up doing it, and didn't pass out. Yeah. Nobody threw any, rotten tomatoes.
Yes.
Nobody left. And so it kind of came, like Jim kind of snowballed, and I'm gosh, I kind of like this. And then he asked me the next year to try out for the play, and I did. And it's been about 10 or 11 years for me now.
Awesome.
And I just, it's a challenge, but it's addictive. Mm-hmm. And it's also, too, if you can bring something for somebody else, to try to bring a message to them, whether it's just in a smile or a laughter, you know, it really, it does something to you when you're out there. And so, it just keeps snowballing, and then you want to see what the next play is going to be next year. And so that's where we're at. But yeah, I owe a lot of this to our daughter, because she was really big into theater.
It's funny how much, and being a parent, my kids are in their early 20s and stuff, and the more I realize about parenting, so much of it is, you teach your kids stuff. They teach you some stuff, too.
Yeah,
they really
absolutely.
Do, you know? It's also great to have these examples, and I appreciate them. And there's a theme there with those of, I didn't plan on this, but I'm so happy I did it kind of thing. It's another reason why we bring this stuff up, is to encourage others out there. There are always, whether it is with your local church or maybe a community theater, there's always opportunities to give back in different creative ways. And certainly, obviously, encourage you to be a part of nonprofits and those things. But maybe if you're not able to do those things, here's another way, another option for you to be able to put back into your community. Sandy, I wanted to touch on the rehearsal process. How often did you guys rehearse? How much of a commitment was that?
It does become pretty intense, those 10, 12 weeks before, from being cast till when you actually take your show out mm-hmm. on the stage. But it's kind of gets to be like a snowball rolling downhill. Yeah. I mean, you start out, you don't know where to stand. You've got a script in your hand, but do I say this funny? Do I say this serious? Until you've done it, you know, and you go through it a couple times, and then all of a sudden, I always tell my actors when I'm a director is you get to know your character, and then you become your character. What would my character do if I was standing here? What would my character do if I had this situation? And so it becomes more that you become this. And that's why you can see a live theater production 10 times with 10 different casts. And it's always a little different because that person that's playing that character puts their own interpretation and their director's interpretation on that character, and it makes it almost like a different movie, mm-hmm. Different show.
It's one of the greatest things about going to plays, and especially plays if you're familiar with the show or something like that. One of the nicer things I've had happen to me would do It's a Wonderful Life, and you're playing a role like that, you know, that Jimmy Stewart made famous for a reason, because he's one of the greats, and I'm not going to be able to be Jimmy Stewart. I can't, even if I tried, even if I was a great impersonator, I couldn't be Jimmy Stewart. So you have to put your own spin on it. You have to make it your own. After the show, there was a couple times where it came up where I had people coming up and saying, I felt like I saw it the first time, you know, and these are people who have been watching the movie, and that's such a great feeling. And it's also a reason for audiences to see these shows. Like, well, I know It's a Wonderful, or I know this play or what have you. No, you don't. It's going to be different. Trust me, every one of these shows, every one of these performances are their own organic thing. And anything can happen on a theater play, as you guys well know.
Exactly. And we lean more towards comedies. I feel that people just don't get the chance to laugh enough. And just let you know, this entertainment kind of sweep you in. And audiences can make or break a show, because if you're up there telling jokes or doing something funny and people don't respond to it, then, you know, it's not what it was meant to be. So if you come to a Grace production, you are going to get some good belly laughs.
Mm-hmm. And I couldn't agree with you more. I think even if we did have tons of ways to smile and laugh, we could always use a couple more. We could always use some more, let alone you go to a show, you go to the play, all these performances will be at Grace Lutheran Church at 1531 Whitrock Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. When you're going to these shows, you can know that you're not only going to have a good time, you guys don't need me to tell you, church snacks are always the best. They're always good. The baked goods, they're always the best.
Dessert makers.
Yeah, just incredible stuff. So you're going to have that going for you as well. You're going to have a great performance, going to laugh some, but you also can leave there knowing you're putting back into your community. Okay. You are helping them continue to do the great work that they're doing in this community, which helps pretty much in one way or another all of us, whether it's 6 degrees of separation or not. It's affecting you, it's helping you in your neighborhood and your zip code, and it's putting back into the community, which always feels good. And okay. So this is a win-win type of situation. But Sandy, before we let you go, I did want to touch on also if there was any specifics as far as the community benefited part of this. You mentioned that sometimes you don't always know going into a show what certain groups are you're helping or causes. And if that's the case, that's fine. I just wanted to give us a moment if there were some that we're specifically going to be noting.
Well, we have a kind of a committee that after the show is done, we take stock of, you know, how much we were able to raise through this effort. And then we sit down and discuss. We do have like a revolving, rather than give a little bit each time to say 5 or 6 different nonprofits that we've chosen to support, we kind of rotate them. So we're able to give a bigger chunk. I always think that, you know, $100 just kind of gets put in the kitty with everything else. But if you give an organization $500, they go, wow, now mm-hmm. we can do this. Mm-hmm. And so we try to, and that's all based on how much money we raise, try to give a pretty good sized chunk of money so they can get that last what they need to do, that last project or something.
I love that. It's very insightful, Sandy. That's really cool.
And so I'm not sure what's coming up in the rotation this year, but I say we support Neighborhood Table and SWEPS, which is Focus Now, the Family Center, Boys Society. And Girls Club, Humane Society, and
Jeremiah's Crossing.
Cool. Yes.
There all are great people, several, great causes.
Yep. So we feel like we've really accomplished something when we can give to them.
Well, I wish you guys a great run, break a leg, have a great time, enjoy yourself, and we'll make sure you have a good crowd. We'll send people your way, and you're going to help us do that. You gave us tickets to give away. Thank you for that,
exactly.
By the way. We'll be doing that next week. Be listening to the morning show for that, everybody. Otherwise, make sure to make a date, mark this on your calendar, starting Thursday, March 9th, Friday, March 10th, Saturday the 11th, and Sunday the 12th. 6:30 shows on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Sunday will be a matinee at 2:30, and all performances will be taking place at Grace Lutheran Church at 1531 Whitrock.